I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Those wonderful words from that great letter to the believers in Rome from Rabbi Paul, as we call him up in the Bloomfields. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the promise that God is redeeming human beings, Jews and Gentiles alike. And boy, that is good news. And when you hear Romans 1, 16, that's your cue that you've tuned in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're delighted to come to you every day at this same time, this every weekday anyway. And Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, your friendly neighborhood Messianic synagogue located at 3600 Telegraph Road in Bloomfield Hills, just north of Long Lake Road. We would love to have you join us any Saturday morning, including tomorrow morning at 10:30. Also, you can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And that little journey to our website will be well worth your while. And if you tuned in today, you are going to be very glad of it, because we have a very special guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher, a dear friend of mine, Jeff Cohen. Jeff Cohen is a Jewish believer in Jesus, lives in Alpharetta, Georgia. Jeff came to faith, and we'll let you hear his story about that, back in November of 1992. After his wife, Bev, had previously come to faith, and she also from a Jewish family. So that will make for some interesting dynamics. For the past 20 years, Jeff has been very involved in the Messianic Congregational Movement. He's attended Beth Messiah in North New Jersey, Congregation Shema Yisrael, when he and Bev lived here in the Detroit area. And currently they attend Beth Hallel, which is a really lovely congregation in Roswell, Georgia, where Jeff is also a Shabbat service leader. I should also say that Jeff, for now 10 years, has been on the United States Board of Directors of Jews for Jesus. And those of you who are regular listeners to Jesus Made Me Kosher know how much that we love Jews for Jesus' ministry. Jeff and his wife, Beverly, met in college. They've been married now almost 27 years. They have two sons, Joshua, who recently graduated from Wheaton College and also was recently married. I performed the ceremony. It was what a hoot that was. Married to his college sweetheart, Camille. She herself is a PhD candidate at Rice University. And they have another son, Daniel, who's a junior right now at Rice University. He's majoring in poli-sci and economics. All three of them are living in Houston, Texas, which is a bit of a schlep from Atlanta. Jeff is currently the vice president and general manager of Media Consumer Healthcare, marketing well-known brands like, you know, Contact Cold and Flu and Geritol and Vivarin, all these good things. And Jeff, that's quite a pressy there. We want to welcome you to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thanks, Rabbi Glenn. Delighted to be on the show with you today.
Likewise. So glad that you could make this time and talk with us. And I'm excited for the Jesus Made Me Kosher audience to hear your story, how Jesus made you kosher. So tell us a little bit about that journey to faith and how really it started with Beverly.
Sure. Well, Bev and I got married, as you saw, about 27 years ago. And in our first 2 years of marriage, now Bev had come from the most Jewish place in the world, Forest Hills, New York, and it was going to her house I learned to eat lox and bagels and things of that nature. I grew up in a lot of different places, Metro Detroit being one of them, and we both lived in very Jewish areas and both attended rabbinical synagogues growing up. I was bar mitzvahed, I was confirmed, and then I don't think I saw the synagogue other than on the high holidays. Bev and I got married, and we started to think about a synagogue to join, and we went and checked a few out and just didn't find there was any life to them. About 2 years into our marriage, Bev summoned up the courage to tell me that she believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that the Messiah had come, not that we were to wait for him, we were to be expecting him to come again. And I basically, in unbelief and quite a bit of anger, said, wait a minute, you're a nice Jewish girl from New York City. How did you come to believe this? And she basically told me that really that God had put it on her heart and directly revealed to her that if she wanted to have eternal life and live with him forever, she needed to accept his son as her blood atonement and as her savior.
And so did you, right?
I thought she was talking Greek to me. I didn't understand where this could be coming from. How could a Jewish girl, and we know that the Messiah is to come, he's going to save the people of Israel, he's going to save us. And this is not about this blood atonement and personal savior. My Christian friends and Catholic friends who I grew up with, they had Jesus, but Jesus was not for the Jews. And I was bewildered and candidly very angry for quite a while. But it was a journey of about 5 years where I kind of came to faith. And the story behind that is, I was working for one company in central New Jersey and had an opportunity to move to another company in northern New Jersey. And Bev found out that there was a Messianic synagogue in northern New Jersey. And she started attending. And every once in a while, she and our young son Josh would go, and she would invite me, and I'd stay home on Friday night. And then eventually I'd attend a little bit. The transformational time for me was March of 1991. A gentleman about my age came into the synagogue, a well-dressed businessman named Stuart, and he and I started talking over the next couple of months, and I began candidly to see that Jewish people like Stuart, who grew up in a rabbinical home, could believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And about that time, Larry, who was the leader of the congregation, began to share with me about the Lord from the Tanakh, from the scriptures that I grew up with but candidly really didn't know very well. And it was a wonderful evening just before Thanksgiving in 1992 that Larry took me through the entire plan of salvation. It's what I call, Rabbi Gunn, the Jewish-Roman roads. He took me entirely through the plan of salvation by showing me the key scriptures in the Torah, in the prophets. Never once did he have to turn the page to the New Testament, to the Brit Chadashah, to show me that Yeshua, Jesus, is the promised Messiah. And that very night, November 21st, 1992, I gave my life to the Lord. So it'll be 20 years this coming November.
Wow. Wow. And, it seems to me you didn't take long to take off in your faith and assume, a mantle of spiritual leadership in your family. For 10 of those years now, you've been on the board of directors for Jews for Jesus. So clearly, when you became convinced through the scriptures that Yeshua, Jesus, really is the Messiah, then it was just a matter of let's run with this conviction and what can we do to make a difference in the world.
Absolutely. And the way that came about, I'll tell you briefly, is through Congregation Shema Yisrael with David Brickner visiting the congregation. I happened to be out of work at the time and called David up about 10 years ago and said, David, I'm a professional marketing guy. I've got some time on my hands. I'd love to get involved with Jews for Jesus. And David said, I've been considering you for the board. Would you start getting involved with us? And that's really what started our relationship. It's been a wonderful experience. I've been out on campaign, as you know, the grueling and gratifying work that is, helped on the marketing of Jews for Jesus, the current logo. I've had a hand in helping that, and now I head up our audit and finance committee, helping to be the stewards of our finances that so many donors are so generous with it, with their talent and their treasure. We appreciate that, and we're stewards of that money very responsibly.
Oh, well, that's great. Talk to us for a little bit, and by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, Rabbi Glenn with you today, and my special guest, my brother Jeff Cohen, calling in from the Atlanta area. And Jeff is a Jewish believer in Jesus since 1992. He is on the board of directors of Jews for Jesus. He also is vice president and general manager of Media Consumer Healthcare. They market various medicines and healthcare items, many of which you've heard of. And now, Jeff, talk to us a little bit about the dynamics of now raising two boys you naturally hope that they will follow the Lord themselves. But the dynamics as a first-generation Jewish believer, and now you've got children and you want to convey that faith to them.
Well, it's kind of funny, Rabbi Glenn. You know, if you actually look at our spiritual ages, Josh is probably about a year older than I am. He came to faith at a very young age. Dan came at about 5 or so. And I think one of the benefits and wonderful aspects of this is with Bev and I being new to this, that the children were really hungry. And again, Bev would take Josh to Beth Messiah, and he would learn there. And then Dan came along as well to Shema, where he was young. And it's just been exciting to watch the Lord work in their lives. We've guided them. We've given them opportunities. I think with Josh going to Wheaton College, that was the only college that the Lord opened the door for. And Josh ran through that door and has really grown in his background and committed to his faith. Dan wants to serve the Lord by serving in the public arena. And it's just been amazing to watch them. Parents can guide them, but they've had some wonderful spiritual advisors in their primary groups, their teen groups that have helped them along the way. And you're right, it's just a delight to see them. And the marriage ceremony that you performed was just such a testimony to our family and friends about their faith.
Yeah, it was very interesting meeting the extended family. Was it Cousin Alan? Very interesting. But really enjoyed it. And what a joy for me to see this young man who I remember vividly as a boy at Congregation Shema Yisrael and his younger brother. He's now a young man as well. And just to see them grow up, and you're thinking, where does the time go? But it also reminds me that when we're family in Messiah, we are family across all time and across the world. Who would have known, you know, back then when you were attending Congregation Shema Yisrael that you would end up in Alpharetta, Georgia? We didn't know, and right, we miss you like crazy. I should mention to our listeners that Jeff and his wife Bev are my daughter Anna's godparents. And so we miss them tremendously, but wherever we are in the world, we are a family in Messiah Yeshua. Well, Jeff, let's switch gears for a minute. You have been in the corporate world for many years now. As a Messianic Jew, first of all, in the corporate world, there are, you know, all these dynamics about where do you draw the line in terms of openly sharing your faith and doing so in a diplomatic and sensitive, winsome way. But I would imagine all the more diplomacy is needed when you're a Jewish person who believes in Jesus, which is still, though we're a known quantity now, it's still very much category other, and a lot of people are not very happy with that.
Well, you're absolutely right, Rabbi Glenn. You do have to have the appropriate sensitivities. Most companies do have policies and procedures that govern that, and particularly as a leader, I run our office here in Marietta, Georgia. I'm going to be extra careful about that. The interesting part of it, though, is by being a Jewish believer, it opens up a lot of conversations because people want to know what holidays am I celebrating, and I'm able to use that as a way to just open the conversation because people are always talking about Easter or Christmas or, oh, it's the Jewish holidays. So it gives me great opportunities to share my faith because I can absolutely talk about it from a holidays standpoint. Another thing that I do very often is we're out at a meal or we're traveling somewhere, I always ask the group if they would mind if I bless the meal. And I invariably get a, no, please go ahead. And when someone blesses the meal and closes that prayer in the name of Jesus or in the name of Yeshua or Messiah, it again opens up some opportunities for conversations that can take place effectively even outside of the office. I mean, it's very clear people in my company know how I believe and what I believe, but they also know that I'm not forcing that on them, but I'm available for questions. People do come in and ask me. I remember having one junior marketer come to me in my last company, and she was from Israel, and she said, now, sit down and tell me exactly what you believe. And I shared with her there and showed her a few scriptures. So it's very much be available as people know what your beliefs are.
Wow. Talk to us about some of the prophecies in the Jewish scriptures, and what we typically call the Old Testament, those that have really impacted your thinking and your life, not just your journey to faith, but perhaps some prophecies and passages of scripture that you feel in this present day and age are especially significant.
Well, I would like to just take a minute and just recap just a couple of the ones that really were so instrumental to me because they do form really the basis of my faith. And what really opened my eyes was to see the full revealed picture of Messiah in Psalm 22. as you know, where the crucifixion is so clearly described. I had never seen that before. In Isaiah 9:6, you know, where we understand that the Messiah is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, and of course Isaiah 53, and then Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Those are really the scriptures, as I think about them, that have been so instrumental to me. The clarity of the words in the Psalms and in the prophets, and of course from there we know that they are foretelling the coming again of the Messiah. And it was just such a clear picture. It's like, how did I miss this all those years ago? Well, a lot of it was I was never shown those scriptures. And that's really one of the real burdens that I have. And obviously through sharing my faith, pointing those out to people.
Now, did you go through the same series of feelings and bewilderment that I did when I first became a believer in Yeshua? I started to wonder, how come the rabbis never told me this? I mean, was there some kind of conspiracy of silence? Why wasn't I ever shown this? Why did we never read this? And there was a brief period of time where I was a little bit resentful that the rabbis, I felt, had withheld these vital truths from the Jewish Bible from me. But then I realized later, you know, they can't give me what they themselves don't have. If the rabbis aren't reading the Bible, and that may be a shock to some of our listeners, though our regular listeners know we talk about this from time to time, rabbis, really Jewish people as a whole, do not read the Bible very much at all. The rabbis will read the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Jewish opinions and commentaries, but not the Bible. So I don't know if you had the same experience I did. Initially, I was a little resentful at the rabbis. Then I just felt bad for them because they couldn't give me what they didn't have.
My experience was somewhat similar and a little bit different. I grew up largely in the Reform movement, and the focus of the sermons was really about modern-day society in a postmodern world, and really focusing on our role in society to do good deeds, to help others, to live a moral and upright life. Most of the sermons back in those days were about Israel and the young Jewish state and the Russian immigrants. It was much more about socio-political messages. And, of course, during the High Holidays, we would hear, you know, from Genesis 22 about Isaac's potential sacrifice. Of course, there was never the picture of the Messiah being discussed. It was just, well, that's the passage that you read. So I felt that my rabbi had missed it because he wasn't even directing his own thinking and studies to the scriptures, the prophecies, the writings. He was focusing on the socio-political issues of the day. So I felt he just totally missed it entirely. And I had the good fortune to have an incredible discipleship experience through Larry, who pointed all this out to me, including why did the rabbis miss it, and that their role essentially, as you said, Rabbi Glenn, was to focus on the writings and interpretations of the Torah and the whole kind of book.
Now, talk to us a little bit about your experience in sharing your faith with Jewish people. Let's include in there Saul, Bev's dad, but if we can in this conversation. But talk to us a little bit about things that you have found helpful in sharing your faith with Jewish people.
And as you know, Rabbi Glenn, it's the old Goofus and Gallon from Highlights Magazine. There's a right way and a wrong way, and sometimes different. But I've kind of come away with a few important principles. Now, there's several ways of sharing. When we're on campaign with Jews for Jesus on the streets of New York, you're in uniform and you have a mission, and that is to hand the gospel tract or get the information to the person walking in front of you. And we know that's frontline, and that has a certain way of happening. So I'm going to focus more on the day-to-day sharing of one's faith. And I've come up with kind of four or five different thoughts on that. I think it's very important that you take the time to get to know the individual that you're sharing with first. Where are they from? What's their religious upbringing? What do they generally think about God and spirituality? Because you have to, you know, in sales we talk about qualifying the prospect. You have to know where they are and how their attitudes and values and beliefs have been formed. Then I think it's very important in the course of those conversations to share your own faith. How did you come? How did I, Jeff Cohen, come to believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah? Because they need to understand how I got there before I start necessarily asking them to believe it. Then I think it's really important to leave some time for the person you're sharing with to react and respond, even if it's negative at first, but don't give up. Give them some space. This is still pretty, jarring for a lot of people, and they will react. And a lot of them do react, as you know, negatively, but they come back. And if you just are continuing to be resolute and firm, but at the same time empathetic to where they are, because I was there, you were there, that's important. Then I think it really, really helps a lot when you interweave your life experience as a believer with the key scriptures like you asked me to talk about earlier, to start to introduce this idea of a living word of the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God, which is still very foreign to most Jewish people raised either secularly or in rabbinical synagogues. Same thing with prayer. And it's a need to understand that Jewish people think about prayers, not praying in prayer. Got to understand those differences. Then I think really making sure that you're clear on your terms, you know, what does it mean to believe in Messiah? What's salvation? What is this being saved all about? What is the blood atonement? Why is it important? Because we speak a language, there's believer language we all get into quickly, and that's not common or comfortable to a non-believer who's Jewish. Then I think it's really important to offer resources, whether it's yourself personally, books, CDs, whatever it may be, help the person seek out more information and always be available. Bev and I shared with a member, a person who attended the wedding, who for 6 or 7 years did not believe in the Lord. And Bev and I would just point him to scriptures, provide resources, answer questions. I think for Bev's dad, Saul, who came to the Lord at 82 years old and lived another 3 full years after that, it was because he saw what the Lord was doing in our lives. He was so touched and impressed with the warmth and caring of the people in the synagogues in New Jersey. Many of them came to visit Bev's mom before she passed on, but she knew the Lord before she went. In Detroit, the same thing, and here in Roswell, Georgia. He really became so comfortable with it, and then the Lord directly revealed to him that to be with his wife and his family in heaven, he needed to get over the line and accept the Lord, and he placed his trust in the Lord in March of 2005.
Wow, that's great. Let me, if you don't mind, Jeff, let me kind of reiterate for our listeners these points that you brought up. Because, and folks, take notes on these. This is very good advice from a man who's grown in the Lord and mature and has had himself many opportunities to share his faith. Number one, get to know the person first. Be a good listener. Where's the other person coming from? You know, get to know them first. Number two, share your own story. How has God worked salvation in your life? Number three, give time for this other person to react, to respond, to process this news, which may to them be shocking. So give them some slack. Give them some time to actually process that. Number four, you'll want to weave the scriptures in together with your personal life experience so that they can see how the scriptures have interfaced in your thinking. Number five, and I really like this one too, Jeff, speak English. Try to avoid, you know, cliches and Christianese. Just speak English. That requires, of course, a little more thought on your part, but it's worth it. And also offer resources and make yourself available to this person. Say, look, here's my card. Here's my number. Feel free to call me. I mean, I don't want to push anything, but feel free to call me if you have questions about this. I'll certainly make time for you. So really good advice, Jeff. I appreciate it. We have just another minute or so left. And share with us your life verse and why that is, this great passage that has meant so much in your own life.
Yes, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, which I'd like to read. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, the shalom of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua, in Christ Jesus. And that's been my life verse for the last 20 years because we go through so many trials and tests of faith, job loss, situations with family members. And in every one of those, I can come to the Lord in prayer with petition, thanking him for so many things he's done in our lives, and know through the peace of God, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord delights in honoring our prayers and that he will provide as he has so richly blessed our family. Mm. And we can live in peace here in this world, in a world, as we know, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for he has overcome. And that is really why this has been my life verse.
Wonderful words from our dear brother, Jeff Cohen, a Jewish believer in Jesus, who with his wife, Beverly, live in the Atlanta area, have raised two sons, and has served on the board of directors of Jews for Jesus. Jeff, thanks so much for giving us this time today. Really appreciate it.
You are so welcome, Rabbi Glenn. Thank you for the honor of being your guest today.
All right. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. Please tune in again Monday through Friday. We appreciate our audience. And on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and me and everybody, shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.